Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Yes, yes, you and I rock with the best. 101.9 CITR Radio. Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy Just Blaze. Right now you're rocking with Jules Andre Brown, Rolly Wells, Jamal Steels, and Horsepower. You know what it is, right?
Yo, it's I Am Sue, man. I want to shout out Crimes and Treasons Radio, man. CITR 101.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CI...
Sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage, pork,
press 1 if you are tripping balls. Press 2 if you are planning to trip balls. Press 3 if all the balls have been tripped, yet you find yourself adrift amongst the tubes of the ether, dreaming of tubes amongst spheres that have not yet been you. Pressed 1, you are tripping balls.
Relax. You're not tripping balls. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
I ain't sorry.
and I don't feel bad about it. It's exactly what you get. Stop interrupting my grinding. I ain't thinking about it.
kick 1-2-1-2, bitch.
You expensive, you know that?
I'm high maintenance a little bit, but not in a negative way. I just like extremely expensive things.
Put off in the air, that's what Ken told me. Niggas like to play games cause they feel like they know me. You don't know me, nigga, I done changed. So don't be trying to put no shit off in the game. This ain't no motherfucking 9-1. We out here rapping for money, you niggas rapping for fun. I don't fuck with nobody in this shit but bun.
You would think it's all mine, the way I took it. Yeah. You would think it broke down, the way I push it. You hate it when I coat things all in sugar. You wanna hear the real talk, well girl, who wouldn't? Yeah. Working, 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 ain't ya? You don't have no time to lay up. You just trying to be somebody. For you say you need somebody. Get all your affairs in order. I won't have affairs, I'm yours, girl. Faithful, 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 faithful. You hit me like I know you there with someone else. That pussy knows me better than I know myself. On my way from the studio, so get undressed. Let's do the things that we say on text. Yeah. I wanna get straight to the climax.
Straight, straight to it.
Yeah. Hey, you coming all summer like a season pass. I wanna turn you out like pitch black. Wanna watch you do work while I sit back. Yeah. Cause you talk like you got what I need. Yeah. You talk like you got the juice and the squeeze. Yeah. Talk like you bet it all on me. Yeah. And you can't take no L's off me. I know you been working, 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 ain't ya? You don't have no time to lay up. You just tryna be somebody. For you say you need somebody. Get all your affairs in order. I won't have affairs, I'm yours, girl. Faithful, 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 faithful.
How far we go always seems to get better with time. Outsmart me, no. You told me that your brain works better than mine. Tell me I should know ya.
I'll get to know you again.
You want me to show ya?
I'm gonna show you again.
Now we're in the zone, yo. Oh,
gonna be on it again.
Now you're coming over. Tell me I should know ya.
Well, I'll get to know you again.
And you want me to show ya?
Oh. I'm gonna show you again.
When we're in the zone, you
gonna be on it again.
And now you're coming over.
Over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, you're coming over.
Yeah, yeah.
You're coming over.
Welcome to our show. You're listening to the Screen Girls on Air on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Christina.
I'm Sarah, and
I'm Christina,
and we're live from unceded
Musqueam territory.
Shout out to the Musqueam people,
always.
And
so much happened
in the last 2 weeks. Since
switching our show to every 2 weeks to every week, it's been crazy. We have so much to share with you guys.
So our last show was our 420 show, and the very next day the world had quite a shock and surprise when Prince passed away unexpectedly. We heard A Love Bazaar by Sheila E., which he co-wrote and sang on, and I think it was just so shocking. It's just certain celebrities you're kind of like, okay, I could kind of see, like Amy Winehouse, for example, she'd been sick for a while, you know, it wasn't a surprise necessarily.
He was vegan, he seemed to be the epitome of health.
Yeah, it was really sad. And
big surprise.
Mm-hmm. And then, as it is, you kind of realize it's like that Tupac song, Life Goes On. Like, life moves on, you know? As everyone was mourning, the world was also kind of celebrating having that purple lemonade.
Lemonade dropped right in the middle of the morning. And, of course, Instagram and the internet, social media and the memes. You guys are all so quick with it. There was memes about when you're still mourning Prince but enjoying lemonade, and it was a glass of purple lemonade.
It's too much.
Snapchat was so quick with dedicating a filter, the Purple Rain filter.
Merely hours later.
Yeah, within 3 to 4 hours of us hearing the news, we saw on Snapchat the Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm. And lemonade was quite the event. It was marketed as this very mysterious, just something dropping on HBO when it was HBO Go, the free weekend. And I caught it that night, and it's very outrageous. It obviously has caught the attention of everybody in pop culture.
There was this Instagram account where they just post sort of overheard conversations, and one of the overheard conversations was a girl talking about how, you know, she spent X amount of dollars going to Coachella, and she just sat in her house all day and watched Lemonade.
Oh, my. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where, just like her album drop, you want to feel, it's super current, you want to feel in the know, and you want to experience it, like, purely because you know that within hours, you're just going to hear about it. It seeps in, right? Like, you hadn't watched it until a few days later.
And by then, I felt like I was tainted in the sense that I knew all about Becky and the good hair, so I was listening for certain lines, and I knew about certain sort of drama regarding all of it before I actually listened to it. Whereas you listened to it right away, so you actually told me about it before I sort of saw all the Instagram memes go off about Becky and the good hair
really
and all
intense.
The other.
I kind of started this new thing where, I guess for the last few years, an album release has to go hand in hand with Twitter for me.
I don't experience music
solely through my own experience anymore. But I love it. I don't know. I feel like it adds some, like, depth.
You're part of a party where you guys are all experiencing it together, and it's all, like, fresh, new, current thoughts.
And it's really nice where, you know, in this form of, like, pure artistry that Beyoncé is presenting, there's still those people, like, they'll come out with the crazy memes, and it's too good. So it's been a monumental, I think, year for music. April 29th, Views dropped, Drake's latest effort.
Oh, too quick. I was still trying to enjoy Lemonade.
Oh, sorry.
Drake dropped it too quick. I was still trying to enjoy Lemonade. Oh. You didn't switch over too quick. I was done talking about it.
Okay.
But again, with the memes, have you seen the memes where it was like Beyonce is telling Drake, like, I thought you were going to let Lemonade die down before you drop Views, and he was like, I did.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I feel like Beyonce held all the girls down for a minute, and now, I don't know, all the
simps.
The simps, right?
Have come through with their, what is it, like, 20 track. How many tracks?
It's 20, yeah.
20 tracks. It's long. It's good, though. It's good.
Yeah. Think pieces have been floating around like crazy.
About how he raps with the same thing still, and how his number one girl is his mom.
She's a saint.
His mom raised him. Saint.
It's really been, I think, the timing of it was interesting in the sense that there was attention being dropped sort of everywhere. Prince, Beyonce, there's lots going on. And I think the first initial impression of it, it does sound like similar. Like he's talking about similar things, but then does that necessarily make him make the album any less? That it is exactly what everyone was expecting?
That's what it is with any artist. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Kendrick's album is, of course, the same sort of thing. He's always talked about, you know, social inequality, social justice, social issues, you know, his experiences. Kanye sort of always just, you know, very personal. His experiences, I'd say, throughout the industry from beginning, you know, when he was still trying to break in, through his latest experiences with the fashion industry. Rocky, always about fashion. Drake, always about his feelings, reminiscing, his mother, his women. His mother's his number one woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a progression of that. But I mean, if he, what else is he supposed to rap about? It was, I mean, it's evolved. It's sort of, he's talking about different things, but the same things. An evolution of the same things. But that's what we should expect from him. If he switched it up and started rapping about anything else, we wouldn't want that either, I don't think.
Yeah, I think something I really appreciate about Drake is just his, like, duality, where it's like he's got the songs with the bravado, but then on the flip side, he can expose his, like,
and it's so funny when you talk to people to hear what their favorite songs are, because sometimes you're like, that was your favorite
yeah.
song? What is wrong with you? That was such a throwaway song.
But yeah.
You can, I feel like Drake has two camps. It's either, like, the aggressive songs mm-hmm. or the simp mm-hmm. songs.
Yeah.
And shouts out to Parm for having Hotline Bling as his ringtone.
Yeah, shouts out to Parm. Still got to get him on the show.
Yes. What else? Royce the 5'9"? Are you ready to move on? Or
yes.
You still want to linger?
We saw Royce the 5'9".
April 28th at Alexander in Gastown. Great show. Interviewed him. It was funny, he actually referenced Views in our interview, talking about how fast the whole pace of the music industry is and how, you know, keeping up with it. And he was saying that it's a good challenge. And he talked about how, you know, Views is coming out tonight and that's all anyone's going to care about. And then they're going to move on from that. But it has been a really good year for music between, you know, Life of Pablo, Lemonade, Views, even Kendrick, there's been something
Rihanna.
Every month. Rihanna, Anti, yeah.
And Royce the 5'9 dropped Layers.
Exactly. So it's been something sort of like every month.
And we actually saw him on the day that his album was number one on the Billboard chart for hip-hop and R&B. So he's definitely riding a wave with that. His song Tabernacle, it really tackles a lot of...
It is a long story.
Yeah.
It is an informative story. If you... So, yeah, mm-hmm. from the beginning to the end. You get to go on a journey.
You do, through that very fateful day.
But it's really interesting because he sort of talked about what it was to experience success, you know, pre-sobriety and post-sobriety. And so that was a really sort of interesting theme to hear him talk about throughout our interview. And, you know, that's a theme throughout his music now. And hearing him create from, you know, that sort of different place, it's really worth checking out.
And also, this past Monday was the Met Gala, fashion's annual big fete, big do that everyone goes crazy over the first Monday in May. And Christina and I actually checked out the film.
It's called The First Monday in May. And so it traces last year's Met Gala, which was China Through the Looking Glass. And so, I mean, that was Rihanna owned that Met Ball. But it's interesting because she didn't attend this year's. But this year's theme was Manus by Machina and fashion in technology. And it's really interesting to see, like, we were looking at all the different gowns and looks from the Met Gala. And it's just interesting to see how, like, super obvious some people went, whereas other people went, you know, for more of that handcrafted sort of element, because the whole idea of it was, you know, hand machine versus man-made, and what is fashion? Is fashion an art form? is it an art form when it's man-made versus when it's machine-made, and you know, the consumerism in it.
I think that a lot of people interpreted it as like the future, so like
technology
robots
in fashion.
Yeah. There was like a lot of like silver sequins, silver details.
It felt like everyone just went for the silver.
Like very glittery.
Everyone had silver nails at the very least, but it was like Balmain was all silver, all glittery.
So who stood out for you? Whose look stood out for you?
Claire Danes. Claire Danes by far. It was amazing. She looked so beautiful. She looked like Cinderella. Who dressed her? Was it Zac Posen?
Yes, it was Zac Posen.
Zac Posen absolutely nailed it. It was so gorgeous. It was, if you picture just a Cinderella ball gown silhouette, and it just lit up and illuminated. So that idea of technology in it was, it was just so gorgeous the way it was interpreted. But some people went super classic with it, and some people went super literal with it. Who were some of your favorite looks?
I really liked, who had the gold gown? Rachel McAdams. I liked
she
Rachel McAdams.
Beautiful. I loved that she went gold opposed to silver, but she still sort of had this very like machinist type look with sort of her pale brows, pale hair, dark lips, and then this gold embellished gown. I thought she looked really beautiful, yeah.
And I also think that the only person who did a good silver was Jordan Dunn.
She nailed that
one. Oh, it was so beautiful, and the back of it was so nice, and I think she really nailed it.
She definitely was at the front of that pack. There were a whole bunch of girls in their silver Balmain glittery dresses, but she was the one who stood out.
And I feel like this year's Met was so much excess, and I really appreciated what Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen brought to the gala, which was like
low-key.
Just low-key, relaxed style, effortless style, and you know, they weren't.
Well, Kylie Jenner was talking about it took her 7 hours to get ready. That's just ridiculous.
It's not livable.
But the whole, I felt like everyone went super literal with the theme. And it was just like it felt very reminiscent of the Met Gala a few years ago when it was the whole punk theme. You know, a lot of like silver, hard toughness. And so it wasn't that interesting overall because it just felt like it did a few years ago. But, you know, like Beyonce did it a bit different. It wasn't a silver, obvious, machinist type dress. It was a latex rubber dress with a lot of like hand detailed pearls and that sort of thing.
And that was Givenchy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Givenchy, and she was beautiful.
He dresses her quite often, yes. I think, for the last few. And yeah, we saw the film. We saw how last year's went down. I thought the film was really funny.
Because Rihanna ruled the whole film. But the film kind of starts where they're talking about can they afford Rihanna, and her fee is like twice as much as any other performer they've had, and the crew that she rolls with is so big, and she is so expensive, but they need to have her. And then near the end of the film, it's Rihanna performing at the Met Ball. Bitch better have my money. And it's just like the subtle narrative throughout. Can they afford Rihanna? Rihanna singing Bitch you better have my money.
As all the fashion people are like trying to grab her hands. And yeah, I laughed so loud.
But she skipped this year's Met Ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if Jason Derulo and
is tripping down the stairs at the Met Ball, do you still want to be there?
Wiz Khalifa and Future.
It's not what it once was.
No, it's not. So we're going to get into some more music now. We're really excited. We've got a great interview for you guys with Harrison. And we'll be playing some of his music as well as Claremont the Second's. But right now, we're going to get into some Jarreau with Make a Play.
I need to make me a play. I need to make me a play. Oh God, I need to make me a play. Oh God, I need to get back in the game. Yeah, I need to get back in the game. Yeah, I had to get back in the game. Oh God, I had to make me a play. Oh God, I had to get back in the game. I had to run up the score.
I had to get back. I had to run up the floor. I had to hustle. I had to start fucking with y'all. I had to mature. Yeah. I had to start saving some more, so I had to start making some more. Yeah. You don't know how I did it, cause I did it without y'all. You wasn't there, no, you wasn't involved. Oh God, help me get this off. One of one, I'm good with those odds. And I ain't taking none back from y'all. Don't send no drinks, we'll send them back. And don't send no shots, sing with that. I was down bad, now I'm mud, no miss layups. For 200 M's, I might have to D-roll the knee up.
D-roll the knee up.
Girl, step to the bank, travel like I need a Beamer.
Like I need a Beamer.
All my niggas believers, I don't need no more people.
No.
PJ Rose in the bed with my feet up in my Adidas.
I need to make me a play.
Yeah.
I need to make me a play.
Oh God.
I need to make me a play.
Oh God.
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah.
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah.
I had to get back in the game.
Oh God.
I had to make me a play.
Oh God.
I had to get back in the game.
Yeah.
I need to make me a play.
Yeah.
I need to make me a play.
Oh God.
I need to make me a play.
Oh God.
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah.
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah.
I had to get back in the game.
Oh God.
I had to make me a play.
Oh God.
I had to get back in the game.
Lights on just the front. I'ma pull up, hop out. I'ma do my own stunts. I'ma do how I want. First they love you, then hate you. Then they love you again. The same ones burning your jersey. The same ones cheering again. But fuck it. Let them all in, invite them all in. Hop in that Benz, hop out of that Benz. Call all of your friends, tell all of your friends. We in Vegas at Wynn, she can't do for the win. She put up for the win. On some game winning shit, it's where it begins, it's where it all ends. On some I started this shit, I'm gon' finish this shit. And I'm not for the play, I'm in street clothes today. Study all of my tapes, then I'm back in the gym. I'm back on the hills, I'm back in LA. Shit, I'm back in the hills. It's shorty like I need to score on this break. Thought I wanted a deal, I signed my deal. Then I got out of my deal. Free agent for real, but we did it for real. Shout out all the niggas that all got me here. At least it was real. And that's how I feel. Now it's a new feel.
I need to make me a play.
I need to make me a play.
Oh God,
I need to make me a play.
Oh God,
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah,
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah,
I had to get back in the game.
Oh God,
I had to make me a play.
Oh God,
I had to get back in the game.
Yeah,
I need to make me a play.
Yeah,
I need to make me a play.
Oh God,
I need to make me a play.
Oh God,
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah,
I need to get back in the game.
Yeah,
I had to get back in the game.
Oh God,
I had to make me a play.
Oh God,
I had to get back in the game.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Screen Girls on Air on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasted live from Vancouver. I'm Sarah, here with Christina, and we've had a really great time so far tonight. And right now we're going to get into an interview with Harrison. He is an artist out of Toronto, Ontario. Really exciting stuff. He plays the piano, and he's a very musical guy, and he's got a really interesting story, and we got the chance to speak with him. For anybody that's in Vancouver, he's going to be playing live this Friday, May 6th, so definitely check that out, and here's our interview with him.
I'm walking to the library to drop off some books.
What are you
reading? Really bad books, actually. They were awful. Goodness. Like, one was on teaching piano, but I thought it was about just piano, but it was about teachers.
Oh, okay.
And, like, I was like, oh, cool, this could be interesting, whatever. It was awful. I got, 10 pages in. Terrible.
Anyway,
sorry for being cynical. I apologize.
Okay, so you play piano just beautifully. We saw some videos. Were you always inclined to play instruments, even from an early age?
Well, I did take piano lessons when I was, 7 to maybe 10, but I completely forgot about the piano after that. That was sort of my parents just wanting to, expose me to instruments at a younger age. Because music was a late-in-the-game sort of thing for me. I wasn't 10 years old and then was like, oh, I want to be a master composer or something like that. It was definitely not like that. It just sort of, I guess, almost fell into my lap in a way when I was in grade 11. But I started making music in grade 10. But yeah, so I guess I wasn't always playing piano. I just started again playing the piano actually a year and a half ago, even before I started making music.
And what were your early passions and influences in terms of music?
Oh, in terms of music? Super early on, people like Nujabes. I don't know how to say his name. I'd be lying to you if I said I knew how to say his name. But I think it's Nujabes. It was a hip-hop instrumentalist who scored a show. I was sick one day in grade 7, and I watched this show called Samurai Champloo. I'm like, oh, cool, it's just an anime. Okay, whatever, I'm sick, I'm in grade 7, just watching an anime. But I was like, damn, this is the coolest soundtrack I've ever heard for anything. And then I looked up his music, and he's just an amazing hip-hop producer. I don't want to compare him to Dilla, because it's not really the same sort of flow, but he was a huge, huge influence when I first started making music. So I started making hip-hop when I first started. Or, instrumentals, beats, I guess you could say.
And we saw the release of It's Okay, I Promise, and the reaction to that has been really great, I'm sure. So between that and you're about to release your album, what does your day-to-day look like right now?
Well, you know what? Actually, there's a lot of downtime. I'm just sort of waiting for things to be put in place sort of thing. But yeah, there's a lot of meetings and stuff like that. But in that time that I have off, once I finished the album, I was like, holy crap, there's so much things I wanted to do that I couldn't do because I was working on the album. That was my day-to-day, was working on the album every day. But I didn't really, in that time, I didn't take enough time to focus on myself, really. But the working on the album was focusing on myself. But, besides that, it's like, I didn't get to practice piano while doing that. I was just playing it. Which I guess is practice, but in this time I've just been really working on my sound and a lot of practice, trying to learn different instruments and stuff, and meetings. My goodness.
So So when we watched the video, we noticed, like, you and Claremont II have a very natural sort of chemistry. How did that collaboration come about?
Well, I've known Claremont for a couple of years. I was like, who's this nigger who sounds like Chance? And I don't know. He's like really, really good at what he does. He's a great producer. He's great at songwriting. And he's like a little saint, too. Dude is like 7 foot tall, though, which I didn't expect. He came to my house once. I'm like, who are you? I was like, get out. The first time I met him, I'm like, who is this guy? And then I was like, oh, I don't know. For some reason, I pictured him smaller. Anyways, Claremont, he is like one of the most down-to-earth, smartest guys I know. There's literally no ego behind him. I guess he's extremely humble. And as a someone like that, it's so hard not to connect with. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And the current scene in Toronto is just booming right now. How important is the city to you in terms of the way that you're making music?
How much of a...
of an influence is Toronto in your music?
Well, now it didn't used to be, because it was more rap focused before. But now that people are so open minded and like ready to listen to whatever, it's a huge influence. I want to, if this sounds cheesy, I apologize, but I mean make the city proud, I guess, in a way. I'm still a small artist, but I'm trying my best, and people don't knock me for trying, so that makes me happy. So Toronto is a good influence on me, actually. It didn't used to be, but it is now.
And what is your relationship with social media like?
Oh, I'm garbage at it. I try to be good at it. Oh, my God. You see my tweets? Holy... I stink.
I love your social media. I love that you're active on Vine and that you have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Your SoundCloud's popping off.
Definitely.
Oh yeah, SoundCloud. I'm praying SoundCloud goes under though. You know what I mean? I'm praying we all have to start again. You know, it's like everyone can get famous off SoundCloud in like a week now. But it starts to become niche-y. You can't find indie rock on SoundCloud anymore or anything like that. When we started using it, it was like, we've been on the weirdest little niches on SoundCloud before. There was like Music Concrete at points and times like that. And a lot of like weird techno indie music. But I've followed one too many people on SoundCloud. And I'm hearing the same shit over and over again now. That being said... I am a contributor to some of that crap that I hear, so I need to check myself for sure.
So you recently announced that your album is now complete. What can we expect?
What can you expect?
Yes.
It doesn't... Yeah, I'm actually extremely proud of it, to be honest. I, like, put my heart and soul into it. And usually that's the things that people don't like. So let's pray that this one does okay. But you can expect a lot of less aggressive stuff. I think it's a little more relaxed, a little more laid back, I would say. Chill, I guess. I explained to a few people that it was, like, me trying to, or in that time I was making the music, I felt, you know, in this sort of melancholy state of mind, sort of, because I'm a happy guy, but sometimes inspiration with music comes from very weird situations, so I think you'll hear that in the album, I hope so.
That's great. Melancholy is definitely a gift sometimes, especially when it comes to creativity.
Yeah, I fully agree.
So you're going to be here in Vancouver on Friday at Fortune Sound, and we're so excited to see you.
Oh, I'm glad.
Thank you for speaking with us today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks for being so punctual.
Like you, but I'll give you a chance. And I feel bad for the fact I said, well, date in advance. I mean, I didn't say that, but I said, give me some days so I could process what I'm doing. Had to hit up the friends. Homie told me I should try it out. You kind of cute. And I commuted to her dance so that I could compute. Rehearsal for some dancing thing that we were both in. I looked you in the eyes from the road that I'm sitting in. I might have made a mistake by letting the slip. Luckily, you still like me, so I have time to fix problem that I caused, so trust that I am with you 100% through this whole relationship. You called me a jerk, I guess that I'm deserving it. I didn't know that what I did will make you cry a bit. When I don't see you, I don't like you, but I'm trying it. But when I see you, I don't think about just leaving this. So we a couple of weeks in texting, chatting, tweeting, meeting all of your sweet friends, distant you down the street, and not a couple of blocks but a bus, or maybe two, but the second ride not too long about to stop. Or maybe two, seeing each other on Fridays at the community center. The space in between those days made me think, what am I doing? You don't like her that much. Your homie told you to try it and she seemed kinda clingy. Your love don't match, you don't like it. I know I don't. I'ma end it in a couple weeks. The text I wrote shows the whole time I wanted to leave. I barely wrote songs, but would I blame it on me? At the time I was a dancer and songs were hard to release. I wasn't the fastest writer and still struggling today. Dancing her is what I had and we barely talked today. But in those days early on I almost left. Then I saw her one Friday and said I'll wait. Told myself that it's okay, I'll wait. And I'll see what happens. Out. I do remember it. I didn't know you cried at first. To me, you texted it. But it's okay, I promise, because I'm the best candidate. And I will find another knowing you can't handle it. Bars.
That was Harrison and Claremont II. We've had an awesome show. You can catch us again on May 18th.
And you can catch us at Fortune.
Yes.
Checking out Harrison.
Yes.
Harrison will be at Fortune. So definitely go check out Fortune, check out Harrison, show some love.
Yes. And we're going to leave you now with Real Friends by Marco Penn, produced by Brawl Beats.
And we'll be back 2 weeks from now.
Yep. You can check us out.
Yeah. I like smoking weed, I like fucking hoes, I like living free, I like blue codeine, I like cashing out, I like balling hard, I like going in with my real friends, with my real friends, only real friends in my circle, roll out the purple, real friends, only real friends, only real friends, real friends in my circle, roll out the purple, real friends, only real friends, only real friends. Winning the squad, stay winning, fuck all you bitches. Winning the squad, stay winning, don't need assistance. Whipping, you know we cooking in the kitchen. Flipping, you know we working, you know we serving. White girl, doing white girl, that's my dope chick. Zannies on top of Eddie's, nigga, I'm zoning. Sipping, and I'm peeling with my niggas. Sipping, and I'm peeling. Think I'm tripping. I like hanging out, I like smoking weed, I like fucking hoes, I like living free, I like blue codeine, I like cashing out, I like balling hard, I like going in with my real friends, with my real friends, only real friends in my circle, roll out the purple, real friends, only real friends, only real friends, real friends in my circle, roll out the purple, real friends, only real friends, only real friends. Winning the squad, stay winning, fuck all you bitches. Winning the squad, stay winning, don't need assistance. Dipping, I've been leaning off this liquid. The way I'm feeling, I could fuck 20 bitches. White girl, doing white girl, that's my dope chick in South Beach. Doing shroomies, nigga, I'm zoning. Sipping, and I'm peeling with my niggas. Sipping, and I'm peeling. Think I'm tripping. I like hanging out, I like smoking weed, I like fucking hoes, I like living free, I like blue codeine, I like cashing out, I like balling hard, I like going in with my real friends, with my real friends, only real friends in my circle, roll out the purple. Real friends, only real friends, only real friends, real friends in my circle, roll out the purple. Real friends.
CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who have experienced sexual assault, intimate partner violence and harassment. We provide services to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical and campus-related advocacy and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3127. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssask.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.